one of the reasons that it took me several months to transition is because I was afraid that being vegan would ruin travel. So that was one of the big fears holding me back, because, you know, travel was and still is a huge part of my life. And I didn't know if it would be possible to find vegan food in some of the places where I had already been and some of the places I still wanted to go. So eventually I decided to give vegan travel a trial run. And my husband and I had booked a trip to Greece. We were going to be traveling around Greece for 3 weeks. So I thought, all right, I'm going to see if I can stay vegan for the 3 weeks that I'm in Greece. And if I can, then maybe I'll have to readjust my ideas about how difficult vegan travel really is. So that was September 10th, 2014 was the day that my flight landed in Athens at the start of that trip. And I never looked back.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Part of the reward of retiring is that we get to do what we want to do. And for a lot of us, that includes traveling and international traveling. But what if you have some special dietary requirements? Today's guest is Wendy Werneth, an intrepid world traveler, vegan foodie, and animal lover. So far, Wendy has traveled to 109 countries and still counting. She is the author of the book Veggie Planet and the creator of the award-winning vegan travel blog, The Nomadic Vegan, where she uncovers vegan treasures across the globe so that we can eat vegan anywhere and spread compassion everywhere. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Anne, for having me. It's great to be here.
And I mentioned around the world, and that's exactly what happens to you, isn't it? Can I have some background about you and how long you've been a vegan and how long have you been a world traveler?
Yeah, well, those are two very important aspects of my life, and the traveling definitely came first. So I have been traveling the world pretty much all my adult life. I am from the U.S. originally, but I left there just a few months after I graduated from university, and that was back in 1999. So it's 19 going on 20 years now that I've been living abroad and working and traveling and studying and just exploring different countries around the world. So currently I've been to 109 countries and counting on 7 different continents. And still have lots of places left to see. So the list keeps getting longer. The more I travel, the more I discover more places that I want to go. And then the vegan part, that came much later. So that was in 2014. May 2014 was when I first started becoming interested in plant-based eating and nutrition. And then that led me to research a little bit about the environmental impacts of my food choices and the impacts on animals. And so over a few months, I transitioned to a fully vegan lifestyle starting in September of 2014. So it's been about 4 years now.
It's interesting. And I heard you say you transitioned to it. It isn't something that most people could just do overnight, is it?
No, and I don't really recommend that people try to do it overnight. I know some people, they watch a documentary about how animals are treated on farms and they're horrified. And so they just, you know, stop everything right then. And if that works, then that's great. But I do think that it's more sustainable and more manageable if you take a little while to slowly transition, because you need time to to learn how to do things all over again, to learn how to go grocery shopping and learn about different ingredients and different recipes that you can cook. And I mean, in the beginning, it sounds like it's going to be really restrictive. I actually found that that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, it opened my eyes to all these different kinds of ethnic cuisines and different foods that I'd never tried before. So I find that I actually have a much more varied diet now than I did back when I was eating animal products. But, you know, it takes some time to learn all of those things. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a good idea to go at your own pace and just do a little bit at a time and see where that takes you.
You said it was a conscious choice becoming a vegan. Is that the same with everyone? It's because of the animal rights side of thing, or are people doing it for nutritional reasons?
Yeah, people do eat a vegan diet or a plant-based diet for different reasons. So, I mean, the definition of veganism, as it was given by the Vegan Society, basically just means that you're making a conscious effort not to cause unnecessary harm to animals. And we generally think about that in terms of what we eat, but it also applies to other aspects of our lives. For example, as a vegan, I also don't wear animal fur, or I don't wear their skins in the form of leather. I also avoid using cosmetics and other products that are tested on animals and things like that. So it is more than just a diet. It's really a lifestyle. But having said that, there are people who are eating a plant-based diet for health reasons or for athletic performance. There are a lot of really high-level athletes who also eat this way because they find that it increases their athletic performance. So some of them would call themselves vegan, and some would prefer to use the term plant-based because it doesn't have those ethical connotations. And if that's not why they're doing it, then they might resonate more with the term plant-based, which I think is probably a good idea to use that term because, like I said, you know, vegan really does mean trying not to harm animals as far as is possible. But for whatever reason, people want to start exploring this path. That is great. You know, I totally encourage anyone to do it, whether it's for their own health or out of a concern for the environment or if it's for the animals.
All right. Are there different types of vegans?
Sure. I mean, if we're, again, talking about veganism as a way of eating, then there are certainly people who eat plants, but you can do that in many different ways. So you could be a junk food vegan, for example. It's not necessarily a healthy diet. I mean, it certainly is if you're eating a whole foods kind of plant-based diet where, you know, you're eating whole plants. For example, whole grains and lots of fruits and vegetables and beans and other legumes and things like that. But you can live off of potato chips and Coca-Cola, and that's vegan, right? They're made out of plants. There's no animal products in those foods, but that certainly doesn't mean that they're healthy. So, you know, some people who are just doing it for the animals, they may be really into the junk food. And nowadays because veganism is growing, you have lots and lots of vegan junk food out there nowadays too. You've got vegan donuts and vegan ice cream and all of these things that we didn't used to have. And then there are other people who, you know, if they're doing it for the health, then they're not going to be eating that stuff, or at least certainly not on a regular basis. And yeah, you have people who might say, oh, I eat a high carb, low fat vegan diet. So they're eating lots of carbs and really limiting their fat intake. You also have some people who eat a raw vegan diet. So they don't cook any of their food and they only eat raw fruits and vegetables. I don't recommend that, actually. I don't believe that is healthy, but some people do. So sure, people can eat a vegan diet in lots of different ways. But like I said, for me, veganism is not a diet, actually. It's a lifestyle.
Mm. And it's completely different to being a vegetarian, isn't it?
Sure. Well, I mean, there are similarities, and I think there are probably similarities in the motivations for people to become vegetarian. And a lot of people first become vegetarian, and then once they start learning more and researching more, then they make the jump to veganism as well. Because vegetarianism, it's obvious that when we're eating meat, we kind of know that meat is an animal and that an animal had to die for us to eat that. So if you're not comfortable with that, then that's kind of the first step that you would take, would be to cut meat out of your diet. But then eggs and dairy products, it's not nearly as obvious. And for most of my life, I thought that those were perfectly harmless products. You know, I thought, well, the animal doesn't get hurt if you take their eggs or their milk. So what would be the problem? And why would anyone want to be vegan? And then once I started learning about it, the issue, I realized, actually, unfortunately, there's terrible suffering that goes on in the egg and the dairy industries. First of all of those animals do go to slaughter at the end of the day, just like the animals who are raised for their meat. As soon as they stop producing milk or eggs at a level that's profitable for the farmer, then the farmer's not going to pay to, you know, to keep them fed and housed. They're going to send them to the slaughterhouse. And that is what happens to all of them eventually. So the only real difference between the cows and the chickens in the dairy and egg industry, as opposed to those in the meat industries, is that they actually suffer for a lot longer and in some pretty cruel ways as well. For example, the dairy industry, actually both of the industries, they're exploiting the females, right? Because it's only the female chickens who lay eggs and it's only the female cows who produce milk. So they, in the case of the cows, they are kept constantly impregnated and in this constant cycle of pregnation, forced impregnation and birth, and then having their babies taken away from them and then getting pregnant again so that they will continue to produce the milk. And then their babies will, if it's a female that they've given birth to, then they will have the same fate as their mother. And if it's a boy, well, he's never going to grow up to produce milk. So he is useless to that industry. So he's going to be killed as a baby and turned into veal, which is actually why we have the concept of veal in the first place. It's simply a byproduct of the dairy industry. So yeah, in a nutshell, those are a few of the reasons someone might want to take that extra step and adopt a vegan lifestyle rather than just avoiding meat.
Right. Well, now I understand what you're talking about. It's nice to see someone that's very passionate about their beliefs. So what is the Nomadic Vegan about?
Yeah, so the Nomadic Vegan is a website and started out as a blog that I created about 4 years ago. So just as soon as I became vegan, really. And it was the website and the resource that I wish that I had when I first started out on this journey, because one of the reasons that it took me several months to transition is because I was afraid that being vegan would ruin travel. So that was one of the big fears holding me back, because, you know, travel was and still is a huge part of my life. And I didn't know if it would be possible to find vegan food in some of the places where I had already been and some of the places I still wanted to go. So eventually I decided to give vegan travel a trial run. And my husband and I had booked a trip to Greece. We were going to be traveling around Greece for 3 weeks. So I thought, all right, I'm going to see if I can stay vegan for the 3 weeks that I'm in Greece. And if I can, then maybe I'll have to readjust my ideas about how difficult vegan travel really is. So that was September 10th, 2014 was the day that my flight landed in Athens at the start of that trip. And I never looked back. And the reason I know that date is because that is what I celebrate each year as my veganiversary. So that is when I say that I became fully vegan, because I did stay vegan for that trip. And then I continued after that as well. And as soon as I got back, I created this website and started writing about my adventures and my travels and about all of the amazing food that I had found along the way. Because actually, there were dozens of plant-based dishes dishes that were part of traditional Greek cuisine. And so now that's become a big part of my travels. And that's something that I really love doing, is researching local cuisines and finding those local specialties that are actually vegan or can very easily be veganized. And so I write about those on my blog. And I also write about, you know, vegan restaurants and vegetarian restaurants, and show people that you really can be vegan anywhere, and that it doesn't have to be a restriction.
Well, congratulations on your achievement. So how is it for people with special diets to travel? I mean, there used to be a language problem, but I suppose these days with the modern apps that are available, we can translate more easily via our phone and the apps that are available. I can remember years ago being in Greece back in the 70s, and we used to go into the kitchens and actually open, take the lids off the pots and have a look inside, because we didn't have a clue what was on the menu.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah, things have changed a lot. You're right. And we have so many tools and resources at our fingertips now, which make travel much easier and, you know, make a lot of aspects of life easier, really. So yes, you do have automated translation tools like Google Translate. That's a really great app. And there's also one specific to explaining what veganism is, and it's called the Vegan Passport. So I have that on my phone, and it just gives a description of the different things that vegans don't eat, you know, all the different animal products. And then it also gives a list of things that we do eat, and politely ask if someone would be able to prepare a meal, a dish that would have only those plant-based items in it. And that is translated into, I think, 70 something different languages. And then there's even one section that doesn't use any words at all. It's pictorial. So on one side of the page, you have, you know, pictures of a cow and a chicken and an egg and all these things. And then on the other side, you have fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds and mushrooms. And, you know, the one with the animal products has a big frowny face in the middle, and the one with the plants has a big smiley face in the middle. So it's actually a really effective way of communicating that message, even without any words at all. So to answer your question, what is it like to travel with special diets? I mean, for me, honestly, it's so much easier than I had imagined it was going to be in the beginning. And it, usually I have the opposite problem of what I had expected. You know, I thought that I was just going to be scrounging around, you know, desperately searching for some kind of food that I could eat. And in most cases, the reality is that I find too many things that I want to try, whether it's, you know, special vegetarian and vegan restaurants that I want to eat at, or special local dishes that I want to taste. And I don't have the time or the room in my stomach to try out all these things, which is a good problem to have. So obviously some places are more vegan friendly than others, and some are going to have more options than others. But for me, it really hasn't been difficult at all, and it's actually made my travels even more enjoyable. Now, having said that, it is probably different for someone who has a food allergy or a medical condition where they are going to get sick or perhaps even put their life in danger if they do eat something that they, you know, that their body can't handle. That's not my situation. So I'm sure that there are cases where I have eaten animal products without knowing it. You know, there was probably a soup that was made with chicken broth as the base, or some vegetables that were cooked in butter instead of olive oil, or, you know, accidents like that are going to happen. And, you know, I accept that I just do the best that I can. But if we're talking about someone with a serious allergy, then they would need to be more vigilant about that.
Yes. And I know, like Indian food, for example, they have a lot of their cooking is based on butter and ghee.
Yes, that is true. So Indian food is incredible for vegetarians. I would say that India is probably the best place for a vegetarian to travel. Yeah, with veganism, it's still good, but the dairy products are the things that you need to watch out for. Eggs are easily avoided, because generally vegetarians in India don't eat eggs as well as not eating meat, but they do tend to eat a lot of dairy products there. So there are some adjustments, some, you know, swaps that you can make. You can ask them to cook it with oil instead of with ghee. And usually they're happy to do that because the oil is actually cheaper than ghee, which is more expensive. So, you know, there are things that you can do to adapt dishes. And the other thing is, you just have to ask for what you want, which sounds obvious, but, you know, it took me a while to wrap my head around that because I was so used to sitting down in a restaurant, being handed a menu. And, you know, in my mind, those were the options, were what was on the menu. And in reality, you don't have to be limited to that. You know, if you don't see anything that suits your needs on the menu, then don't be afraid to speak up and ask if they can adapt something or if maybe the chef can make something, you know, completely different for you. And they might enjoy that challenge and be happy to do something different, something out of the ordinary. In any case, you know, I've usually received a positive response, and they're in the service industry and they're there to serve your needs. And as long as you're polite and can, you know, adequately explain what it is that you want, then in most cases, restaurant staff are happy to accommodate you.
You'll have to start a symbol that you can wear that's worldwide known.
Yeah, there is actually a vegan flag now. I don't know how much it's catching on. It was created, I'd say sometime last year, probably. Yeah, so I've been wanting to get like a patch that I can put on my backpack with the vegan flag. But I think probably most people wouldn't know what that meant at this point. So it'll take a little while before that becomes more recognized.
Yeah, big education program ahead. So what are the best countries to find plant-based food in your experience?
Well, yeah, there are several. I mean, you have some countries that are, they're good for vegans because there's a really strong vegan movement there. And so the restaurants and the other companies and businesses are responding to that demand and are starting to offer lots of vegan options. So that would be the case in, say, Berlin, for example, speaking more on a city basis than a country basis, because, you know, if you go out into like a small village in Germany, then that would be a very different situation than in Berlin. But big cities like Berlin and Chiang Mai in Thailand is a really big vegan hotspot these days. So is Bali. And then, of course, in Western English-speaking countries, too. I mean, that's generally where the movement is the strongest. So London is great. Melbourne in Australia is meant to be great. I haven't actually been there myself yet, even though my husband is from Sydney. But I haven't been to Australia in a long time. So I'd like to go back and check out the vegan scene there. And then in the U.S., you have places like Portland and Seattle and Austin, Texas and Los Angeles. So you have those kinds of, you know, vegan foodie cities where you have lots of options. But then you also have places like Greece, for example, where they might not have ever heard the word vegan before, but the traditional cuisine just happens to be very plant-based and to have a lot of options. So Greece is a great example of that. I would say that Italy is also a good example. A lot of people think that everything is smothered in cheese and, you know, Italian food is all about meat and cheese, but the real Italian food that's eaten in Italy is pretty different from the way that it's been exported to other countries. And it can be very vegan friendly as well. Same with Chinese and Thai and Vietnamese and even Indian, like we talked about before. I would say that that's still a pretty vegan friendly cuisine. But in all of those cases, you're going to need to do a little bit of research and, yeah, be able to explain what it is that you're looking for. And it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with those cuisines so that you know what the dishes are that you should be looking out for, because in those places, they're not necessarily going to be marked with a little green V on the menu like they might be in, you know, some of those other cities that I talked about earlier.
Right. My daughter's vegan and she quite often has Mexican as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one that I would say it can very easily be adapted to be vegan because it's, you know, the dishes tend to be made up of a bunch of different parts and it's easy to swap one thing out for another. So, you know, it might be a chicken taco, but you could easily make it a bean taco instead, for example. Mm. Yeah, Mexican is another good vegan-friendly cuisine, I would say.
Right.
Before we finish up now, can you like to tell us what else you do?
Sure. Well, I've been wearing quite a few different hats lately. The Nomadic Vegan started out as a blog, and I still do put out a weekly blog post on the blog, and I have social media as well on all the major networks. I also published a book last year called Veggie Planet, Uncover the Vegan Treasures Hiding in Your Favorite World Cuisines. So in that book, I actually go through a lot of these cuisines that we were just talking about and highlight the traditional dishes that happen to be vegan and show just how vegan-friendly these cuisines really are. And right now I'm working on a second book, which is all about vegan food in Italy. It's probably going to be called Italy for Veggie Lovers. That's the current title anyway. So like I said, Italian is, I think, a very misunderstood cuisine. And so I'm looking forward to showing people all of the plant-based dishes that it has to offer. So I am a blogger. I'm an author. I'm now also a tour guide. So I recently started collaborating with a vegan tour agency based out of the US. They're called Veg Johnson Journeys. And so earlier this year, I led a vegan tour of Portugal, which is where my home base is. I live in Lisbon when I'm not traveling the world. And later this year, I'm going to be leading a vegan tour of Italy, which, you know, as you've probably guessed, is another very special place for me and one that I've visited many times. So, yeah, looking forward to doing more of that. I've been doing some speaking as well at vegan festivals and, you know, conferences and things like that. I still do a little bit of freelance translation and editing work, which is what I used to do. I used to be a translator for the UN, and I lived in Geneva for 6 years and worked for them until I finally resigned and moved here to Lisbon and started this kind of more semi-nomadic life where I have more freedom to pursue my passions and more time to travel. And still doing a little bit of work for them, but, you know, fitting that in around my lifestyle, which works much better for me than doing a 9-to-5 job.
It's fascinating and very inspiring listening to your story, but also listening to someone that has so much passion for what they believe in. So if any of the listeners wanted to follow you, where would they go and find out more about your book and your app?
Well, they can go to thenomadicvegan.com. So that is my website, and that's where you'll find all of my blog posts. There's also information about my books there as well. Or you can find my book, Veggie Planet, on Amazon. It's for sale there as an ebook or as a paperback. And I'm also on social media. On Facebook, I'm Nomadic Vegan. And then on the others, I'm Nomadic_vegan. So that's where you would find me on Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest. It would be Nomadic_vegan. And I do also have a YouTube channel as well. So I post some videos there when I can.
And the tour you were mentioning, the tours?
Yes. So the tour, there is information about that on my website, thenomadicvegan.com. Or the company itself is vegjauntsandjourneys.com if you want to go straight to them.
Sounds idyllic if you want to travel with people of similar interests. It sounds like a great way to go.
Yeah, we had a fantastic group in Portugal. Everyone gelled, you know, really well together, even though we had a huge range in ages. I think it ranged from 31 to 79. But we all got along so well together. In that case, everyone in that group was vegan. You don't have to be vegan to join the tour. You are more than welcome to come along if you're just curious, you know, or just trying to add more vegetables to your diet or something like that. But yeah, it was great to kind of have that in common with everyone. And yeah, we had lots of interesting discussions around the dinner table.
Well, thanks very much for being part of the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And it seems like it's just so easy now to travel than it ever was.
Yes, that is very true. It's becoming easier every day to be vegan. There are more and more products coming out, and easier to travel as well, for sure.
Well, thanks very much, and good luck with your new book.
Thank you, and thanks for the chat. I enjoyed it.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.